Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Boring you guys to death with the non-guest episode, just trying to get ourselves into trouble talking about BS topics. Well, we finally got a guest back on the podcast today. Tyler Wiegers joins us, four-year quarterback for the Hawkeyes, then transferred out, finished his career at Eastern Michigan, and a legendary dude. You're going to get to hear all about him. Let's have a day, baby. Let's go.
Here we go, fellas. 220. Welcome back. Episode 220 of the Wash and Walk-Ons podcast. We have a sweet guest and one of the most intelligent people we've ever had on this podcast. And I guess Kluver just was teammates with him for 4 years and didn't realize that he was not a dumbass like Kluver. And no, he had smart things and intellectual things to say. Great teammate, somebody who really takes no shit from anybody. And that's a personality trait that I really can appreciate. Great, genuine human being, great quarterback, Tyler Wiegers. Welcome to the Wash Walk-Ons podcast, bud. We're going to have a little fun.
Thanks, boys. That was a hell of an intro there. Appreciate it.
Drake's pretty good at that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's one of the reasons I keep him around.
How many episodes is this?
220.
Jeez.
Yeah, we don't fuck around here.
And listen, Weegs, there's a lot of people that hate us by now. 220 episodes in, there are so many people that hate us. It's unbelievable, and it just keeps getting better.
Half of our listeners stick around just waiting to hear us say something stupid.
Well, dude, if you're getting a lot of hate, that means you're probably doing something right, you know?
Well, yeah. That's true. The quote I always like to come back to is you can't – I just fucked that up. I can't remember. I can't remember the quote.
My guy just absolutely shit the bed right here.
Guess what? My fucking brain, it's just stopped working, right? And it's probably because I'm in the presence of Tyler. He mentioned that I didn't know that you were like super smart, Weegs. And it's true. Like, I just thought everybody was like me, huh? I thought everybody was just like me.
Anybody named Tyler is just an average Joe. But little does he know, he's one of the dumbest Tylers I know.
Just the stupidest guy. The quote that I was trying to come back with, and I will find it at some point, it was something like, no one that was ever happy or successful punched down, right? Like, yeah. you know, so when people are punching at us, we know that they're punching up, and we're kind of we're doing something that makes them want to be on our level, probably in some sense. But if someone broke into your house, Tyler, what's the first Jits move you'd throw them in?
Oh, geez. I don't know. I like Kimura's a lot, but I don't know.
Okay, so tell me this, Weeks. Where do you live?
I live just outside of Chicago. I'm in Downers Grove.
Okay. And was it by choice or by necessity that you joined Gracie Baja?
Well, it's like 10 minutes away from me. So it's pretty convenient there.
Very convenient.
Yeah, and then I checked out a couple places around here, and it was just like the most professional one, I guess. I felt like I could learn the most there. So
now tell me the truth. Is it a cult?
No, I mean, they've definitely got like, you got to wear their stuff. You mm-hmm.
And you got to praise them. You got to get on your knees, bow down and praise them.
Wow. No, not like that. But my professor is straight out of Brazil, like mm-hmm. trained with Carlos Gracie Jr. Like growing up, he helped train Hotter Gracie. like all that stuff. So he's like,
how many goddamn Gracies are there?
There are a lot of Gracies, and they all start with the name or the letter R almost, and none of them are pronounced like Roger. It's Hodger or Hoyce. So they've all got some pretty interesting names and an elite jiu-jitsu lineage.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. But no, I mean, it's like, it's good. I like it. I mean, it's, you know, it's Iowa football. It's structured discipline. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, fuck yeah. Here we go. how and when did you get into the old jits?
I started last January.
So you're over a year in, huh? Almost.
Yeah. I got my blue belt now. I mean, obviously there was some time off with the pandemic and stuff, but I went probably end of January, early February until early March when everything got shut down. And then I started back up again in July. So
hell yeah.
Yeah.
How did it feel to get your blue belt?
It was sweet. Yeah. It's nice.
I've only been at it just over 6 months, so I haven't quite got there yet.
Yeah. But now what sucks is I'm going to do a tournament coming up, and like blue belt is the biggest sandbagger division. So there's going to be guys that have been blue belts for like 5 years that I'm going to have to go against.
Cause there's guys who just like, oh yeah, I just want to get in it and like go up one belt. And then they just don't do anything to ever advance past that.
Well, there's that. But then also some of the schools that are like super big into competitions, the instructors will hold the students back. It's like holding a kid back in 10th grade who's like 17 years old, you know, to like so that they do better in the sport. Yeah, so they'll hold guys back.
Like the old bench warmers, I am 12, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And then the instructors who are at the top of the game, they claim that they just feed their students acai and the Bible. But in reality, they're shoving syringes up their ass and turning these dudes into mutants.
Did you listen to the Gordon Ryan on Joe Rogan recently?
Yeah, I did.
He was like, all they do from the time they hit 25 is just keep taking more steroids.
Hey, man. Steroids, I actually recently have done a lot of like personal research into steroids.
Yeah.
Not saying that I don't think I could ever make the jump because
I don't know, dude. You've made the jump to none of your shirts having sleeves, and that's the first step into getting into steroids.
Yeah, you're right. And so I'm on my way. And I've talked to Brady Ross a lot about steroids because he knows a lot about them. And I was always, as a high schooler, like on the edge, very interested in pro hormones, which was the thing back then. And those are like banned now. Now there's like SARMs, which are a whole other thing. And it's just like, I can't personally get over one, needles, or two, which some of them are orals. Not that kind of oral, you the sicko.
Are listener. Bad on your liver.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. They're horrible on your liver. So you have to take like liver support. And I'm just moral enough to know that if I took them and then got better and then I was going to like compete, which is kind of my 2 year plan here with CrossFit, I just wouldn't feel good about it. I'd just be like, you're not actually that good, dude.
Yeah. And so, no, I'm not, I'm definitely probably gonna get it on them when I'm like 50 and start.
45, 50, a little TRT.
Going nuts. I'll try to look like The Rock.
Absolutely. Dude. Sylvester Stallone. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just like sick. Rogan, you know.
Have you listened to the More Plates, More Dates guy on YouTube?
I haven't listened to it, though I've made it a point to like check him out because Rogan talks about him so highly.
I started like, they just popped up on my YouTube, like some of his videos a long time ago, like way back in the fall. And so now I keep up with it. It's pretty interesting. Like he dives deep with different stuff. It's pretty interesting. I mean, I'm not gonna do them for a long time, but it's definitely fun to learn about.
Weeks, in 20 years, hit me up and we can go on a cycle together, and I'm in
for sure.
Just think about how good the like stem cell medicine and TRT and all of that is gonna be in 20 years.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of a guy who's, I mean, are you, what's the plan here, Weeks? We're gonna get into the whole football. You played at Iowa, Eastern Michigan, all this shit. But you got once you transferred to Eastern Michigan, you ended up getting a master's of human nutrition.
Yeah.
Which I'm a little bit jealous of. I've been super deep into my own personal research onto like another level of nutrition lately. I'm getting like really mostly to help my clients out because I'm trying to get like I'm trying to know everything basically. What are you doing now? What's the path?
So I'm in med school right now. And I've got two more years left, and then I have to pick a specialty that I'm going to go into.
I was going to ask you what you were going to specialize in.
Yeah. Right now I'm thinking anesthesia, but I've had the first 2 years is just straight classes and like a little bit of clinical stuff. But now starting next week, I am going to be, they call it rotations, where you're like going around with different specialties,
yep,
like a month at a time. And so you get to see everything. So right now I'm thinking anesthesia, but like a lot of people change their mind once they
could end up being a baby doctor, you know?
Yeah. Who knows?
How many?
But if you do stick with anesthesiology, can you embezzle me some fentanyl?
I was just going to say, weeks, two podcasts ago, we were talking about sleep and like sleep supplements and like sleep hygiene and like the best tactics to get the best night's rest. And we made the joke that like eventually Drake is just going to be on the level of Michael Jackson, just straight anesthetic every night.
Yeah. Just what was it? Propofol he was on all the time. I forget.
Yeah, something like that. I mean,
yeah, they're about to give me propofol and then shove a camera up my butt, Weeks. How about that?
Yeah.
He's getting a colonoscopy. Getting a
colonoscopy?
Yeah, man.
That's fun. My dad just got one of those.
Drake's only 26.
Yeah, I know.
So it's a little different. Yeah, and Drake's been telling everybody. I mean, this is like the third or fourth podcast where we've talked
about it. Yeah, I mean, but by this point, I don't even care. Like, it's not something I'm embarrassed about, and it pops up in a perfect spot to make a joke about it every single podcast. So I just do.
Yeah.
I mean, we could just start going straight into just med school stuff and just talk about colon physiology. Well,
how many rotations are there?
So there's I have to be doing it for 2 years, and the school has like – there's like certain requirements that you have to do certain – specialties before you graduate.
Sure.
So like the third year is super structured, the year I'm coming up on, and I have to hit like surgery, family medicine, pediatrics, what else? I have to hit like OB-GYN, psychiatry, bunch of stuff. And then my fourth year, that's when you start like picking what you want to apply for, and you start like reaching out to places that you might want to apply to and doing rotations with them. Yeah, so
I know Miguel is Miguel's in med school too right now.
Yeah, I don't know where he's at. Ward is in med school too at Iowa.
So I believe Miguel is actually, he got accepted to Wisconsin.
Oh, nice.
So Miguel's going to be a Badger post Hawkeye career.
Yeah.
But is he really though? He's really just part of the medical that after or
post. It's not the same.
Yeah. He said that he was going to wear his Hawkeye shit all the time there.
Yeah, so. Of course he is. Miguel's a soldier.
He's a G. Was med school always the plan, Weeks?
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of like my only plan going.
Only plan. Wow.
That's a pretty good only plan, dude. Because I only had one plan too, and I got a degree that doesn't do me any good. And so I should have gone with my one plan to be a fucking doctor instead.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So I went in and I was originally going to get a business degree and then get like the science requirements on top of it, just so I had options coming out.
Right.
But then I remember the first week, like classes were going to start. My advisor was telling me I had a class that was during like Tuesday meetings. Mm. And Coach Davis was like, yeah, that's not going to work. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm switching to physiology.
Football determined your major in Iowa. That's hilarious.
He would have worked with me, but I was like, all, you know, you're coming
right
in.
At the time, you're just like, okay, I'll do whatever I have to, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, he didn't tell me not to do it, but he was like, you know, if you can figure something else out, that'd be better. So I was just like, I wasn't really tied to it. So I was like, yeah, I'll just switch my major. I don't really care.
Yeah.
And like even coming out, like I went to, when I was finishing up at Eastern, I was like, yeah, mom, like I'm going to get a shot on a practice squad with a team. Like, I'm not going to take the MCAT yet. My mom was like,
I told my mom that too. And I fucking lied to her.
You should probably take it just to be safe and like, make sure you apply to some schools. So I applied. And of course, like the football thing didn't work out. Yep. So luckily my mom was a little bit wiser.
Hey, shout out mom, you know, with she's just coming through with the security. I also told my mom that I was guaranteed to make a practice squad and I didn't get a single fucking call. Yeah. The NFL got together on a meeting and they were like, yeah, this Kluver kid, nobody contact him. Just nobody. Okay, cool. Check him off the list. Awesome. So that was fun.
I had like a day before the draft, a guy from the Jets called me. And he was like, hey, we were just wondering, you know, what you're thinking and stuff. And I was like, yeah, man, like, I'd love to come out there. He's like, you talking to other teams? And I'm like, you know, yeah, of course. I've had a few teams reach out. Like, nobody else was talking to me. That was like the only call I got. I love it.
Absolutely. I mean, you're not going to be that guy that's like, no, you guys are the only ones that have called. Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, wrong number. My bad.
Oh, man. Yeah. I feel you there. So did you go through the whole pro day prep thing up there in Eastern?
Yeah. So, there was a guy that actually, like, he actually trained me in high school a little bit, and he trains like NFL players and stuff. And that's where Eastern sends all their guys to train for pro day. So it worked out pretty well that way. And I just trained for pro day, did the Eastern pro day. And then I came out and threw at the Iowa pro day.
And, shit, you did?
Yeah. Nice. Because they didn't have anybody there to throw, so.
And you definitely left on good terms. Like, no one disliked you at all. So they were like, yeah, Weegs, come on back. Wow, that's cool. Not cool that you're not in the league. I'd love to see you there, but I think you're going to do just fine in the med school. I believe in you. So going back, Detroit Country Day High School.
Yep.
How did you become what were you? What was the mascot?
Yellow Jackets.
How did you go from Yellow Jacket to Hawkeye? When did the Iowa staff contact you, and how did that come about?
So I think it was a little bit after my junior season, and we had a pretty good receiver at my high school who ended up going to Michigan, and they were actually looking at him, and then they saw me on his film.
Who was it?
Maurice Ways. So he was the same year as me. He played at Michigan for 4 years, grad transferred to Cal, played there. And then he's working at a startup in Detroit, I think, and he's doing podcasting and stuff too. So
smart kid.
But so they offered both of us actually, but they didn't offer me right away. They offered him right away, but Coach Davis wanted to see me throw before he offered me. So I actually had committed to Rutgers before that, because that was my only Big Ten offer at the time.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And then Coach Davis saw me throw just before the summer. And I called him back after he offered me, and I was like, hey, Coach, like, I'm already committed somewhere. You know, I'd feel bad decommitting. And he was really cool about it. He was like, you know what? I had the same conversation with Chris Sims back when I was at Texas, and I told him, if anything ever changes, give me a call. And he called me up later that year and switched from Tennessee to Texas. So I was like, oh yeah, whatever. Like, cool story. And then later on, after my last playoff game, my parents, like, the wheels were falling off at Rutgers.
It's like, Butgers, dude. Yeah. That is one of the most god awful dog shit programs ever exist.
What's funny is they haven't found the wheels yet. I mean, they haven't found any new wheels.
Yeah. So my parents, like, luckily they were, you know, wiser than me back then also. They're like, hey, you should probably decommit and look at your options a little bit. I was like, okay, I'm cool with that. So I came to the Michigan-Iowa game in 2013, your guys' freshman year.
Nice. Cold as fuck.
It was brutal. But luckily, it was my official visit. So I got to go back down in the tunnel in like a warm room with food and stuff whenever I wanted. So that was pretty clutch.
Yeah.
But yeah, so committed after that. And then, yeah.
You big Coach Davis fan?
Oh, yeah. Coach Davis is the man.
Who isn't a big Coach Davis fan?
Yeah.
A lot of the Iowa fan base when he was calling the plays.
Okay. That's neither here nor there. From a personal level, Coach Davis, like,
legendary human.
See, the thing about Coach Davis, I was a fullback, and Coach Davis cared enough to talk to me about my family. He's like, oh, your dad's a doctor? I'm like, how the fuck do you know my dad's a doctor? I play fullback here, Coach. Like, and I don't even start.
I was confused that he knew my name. Like, That's how I felt about all the coaches that said something to me. I walked down the hall and they'd be like, Kluve, how you doing? And I was like, you fucking know me? God, I hang out in the corner. Like, you must have thought I was the janitor or something, just asked why I was in the building, because there's no way you know my name otherwise. Like, and coaches, I mean, he's the Southern, he's got that, you know, he's just that guy, right? He's got the twang to him. He was
the
always
funny story about the play calls. Can you guys swear on this podcast?
Of course.
Yeah. So he would tell us about every single home game when, cause they had to go, the coaches that were in the box had to like walk by some fans to get to the elevator to go up to the box. Every single home game, there was the same guy that would stand there. And when Coach Davis would walk by, he'd go, hey, Davis, no fucking tunnel screens. Every single time, every home game.
Just the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's
the other thing about him was he was so old school, like old school Southern, that he had like quirky sayings that nobody else had.
Yep.
But they all were awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I loved
Coach Davis. That was my favorite. Just sitting in the meeting rooms, that's what like kept you awake.
what other than just him being a great human, what do you think you took away from Coach Davis that stuck with you most?
A lot of stuff, man. The best thing that ever happened to me as far as like learning the game of football was the spring ball after my freshman year. Rudock left, and it was only me and CJ.
Spring of 15.
Justin Joyce was the walk-on, and he had a bum shoulder.
Joyce.
So it was literally just me and CJ in the meeting room with Coach Davis every day. And he took us to like football 101 school every day. And like, we learned it like inside and out, up and down, sideways. Like, I knew everything about that offense. And I mean, he was awesome. He was really good at teaching like why we did certain things, and just really got me thinking about the game of football at a deeper level.
Yeah. It showed that year, but CJ obviously knew the offense, and I hesitate to say that you didn't have any part in that, because we always talked about at Iowa how it doesn't matter if you're a starter or you're a backup, it matters during the week. You proved that in 14, that first year, you were actually you won the team leader award for the offense. We had Bishy on here. Bishy also won that award. And we've told the fans, the listeners, like that award that's an important award. Like
I've still got that stashed away at my family's house. Like
do you ever look back and like, does that mean something to you? Did that mean something to you at the time? Like, because that's high praise from the coaches early on in a guy's career.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. Actually, I'll show you. Hold on. I think I got one of my awards from parents over here real quick.
Okay. This is a first, pulling some awards off the shelf. I mean, Kevin just puts them in the background.
Dude, I've had this at my apartment.
Yes.
But this was the first week of this was against you and I freshman year. I got the offensive MVP for the week. And I was like, calling my mom. I was like, holy shit, this is the greatest thing. Like,
yes. It is though, because you work every day to impress the coaches and do what, you know,
and
do it
like the little handwritten note from KF on the side, and good job. And you're like, you know, like he says that to everybody, but you're like, oh my God, KF said good job to me.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was awesome, dude. I was like super shocked. Cause when we were going to the banquet thing that year, I saw on the little itinerary, like team leader award.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what it meant. Cause right. I just thought it would be like scout team player of the year. And then they said me, and I was like, oh shit.
Yeah. And then you have to go up and like make a speech.
Yeah.
No, that's big time. And that was, I mean, that clearly the coaches and you, I mean, you were ahead of the game. So CJ and you roll through that spring. And then obviously we have the year that we did. Yep. And then we have 2016, CJ finishes up. By this time, Nate's come into the picture. And the thing that I find so intriguing about the quarterback position is that there's only one in each class, right? And it's like, it's this game of, and the Iowa fan base played that game back in their head this entire year, because Zach Wilson from BYU, who now is the Jets' face of the program or their organization, it was him or Petrus for the scholarship at Iowa during,
oh, really?
During Petrus's year. And so you know, all of Iowa's like, oh, what could have been, you know?
Yeah.
And you never know. Like, you end up somewhere else. Life and your career could go on a completely different trajectory. But yeah. It always, always intrigues me, the quarterback position, because there's only one quarterback. It's almost similar to specialists, only they don't recruit a specialist every year for the position. So you look at it, you've got five recruiting classes in inside of a program, unless it's COVID. Now you have six recruiting classes inside of a program, or like five and a half. There's going to be a scholarship quarterback in every single class, at least when they come in. And then eventually, like, it's pretty clear more than half of those guys probably aren't going to play. And what was it like navigating that kind of situation? And then Nate comes in, he kind of grabs that second string spot. And then into 17, when he takes over as the starter, obviously you didn't come to college to be the fucking second string, but what was it like navigating those years and kind of that situation as a competitor too?
Yeah. I mean, it taught me a lot. You know, it was tough at times, you know. Like, I was super excited to get the opportunity to compete for the job. Mm-hmm. And, like, that was what I came there for. So I was working my butt off that whole spring and fall camp 17. And, you know, I talked to, like, O'Keefe, you know, told me, hey, we're going to go with Nate. And he was like, yeah, you know. And, like, they were having a split reps all the way up until the last week before the game.
Yeah.
So it was like neck and neck. And
dude, it was so fucking close from an outsider's perspective. I swear to God, I thought you won it because I thought you had a better grasp of the offense, yeah, knowing that you had been there for 4 years. Like, yeah, from somebody who doesn't know shit about shit, who just sat out at practice and went about their job, my guess was that you were going to come out of that camp. And yeah, that's how fucking close it was.
Yeah, that's how I felt too. But obviously, like, you know, the coach has got to make decisions. And I mean, Nate's on an NFL roster, so you can't knock him for that. So yeah, it's just, you know, it's kind of comes down to it when it's that close, it's kind of the luck of the draw a little bit. And I understood why they did it. You know, I wish they would have went the other way, but it is what it is. And like when I was coming out of high school and I decommitted from Rutgers, I was down to University of Penn, the Ivy League school, and Iowa. And my dad really wanted me to go to Penn. And then I chose Iowa, obviously. And my dad's like, do you wish you would have went to Penn? And I'm like, no, dude. Like, I was there competing for a starting job at Iowa. And it like, I was right there. Like,
yeah.
Why would I regret
it,
that?
You know what it
I
mean? Was so close. So, I'm glad you feel that way too. Cause a lot of guys would be ungrateful, right? Like they'd be.
Yeah. Bored. And it's, yeah. And you can't like, you do like we all do in life. You do the best that you can with the information you have at the time, and then you roll with it and see what happens.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I did, and didn't go my way, but you know, not everybody can be the starting quarterback at a Big Ten school. And that's why it's so special when somebody is.
It's tough. It's tough, man. And I imagine that going through that and then them making that decision. Yeah. It sucks. On the other end of it though, that's quite something to look back on and say, hey, I've been through adversity before, and I'm sure that adversity and, you know, hardened you up mentally.
General managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, yeah. You're already a hard bod and you're a fucking hard mind.
Talk to us about Wim Hof after this, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
You were a big hard mind Wim Hof guy, and yeah, I want to get talked into it.
Yeah, and I've got Wim Hof on the list. We're going to come back to – we're actually segueing into it. But, like, that was adversity that you had to face and go through. Like, you could have said, fuck it, I quit. Or you could have been, you know, like a bad teammate. You're one of the best teammates we ever had. It was so close too, dude. And as a specialist, I always talk about this. I feel like just part of the staff. Like, I felt like Max Allen or Ben Hansen out there. Just like, I just get to watch the whole practice anyway. And I was, I did not care who we went with for a quarterback. I thought it was so close. And when he went with one or the other, I was like, cool. We're going to have basically like two quarterbacks that are equal in what they can get done. And I felt so good during that 2017 year. But yeah, like that's, I haven't had to face any adversity in my life. And that kind of adversity, while it sucks, that kind of forms you and shapes you as a person. At least I would think.
Yeah, no, it definitely. It made me, you know, it sucked at the time, but obviously like you got to make a decision at that point. Like, are you going to pack it in or are you just going to, you know, fuck up and keep going about your business? And it was kind of like, I kind of for, you know, a day there, I was just like, holy crap, like this is brutal. And I just felt awful. But then you're just like, well, all I know how to do is work hard. So that's what I'm going to keep doing. And
hope that's the mindset, brother. That's it.
Go.
Yeah. So that's what I did. And then, you know, got to the end of the year and had a conversation with KF and decided to transfer and then got a shot to play at Eastern, which was, it was good. Like,
and the Fighting Uyghurs in like your first or second start, you took down who?
Purdue.
Purdue, yeah. And we were at Kevin's tailgate.
Yep.
And we were watching the Fighting Uyghurs, bro. We were pulling for you guys so hard. And when you guys beat those assholes, we were
I have on my list of things to talk about win at Purdue with Eastern Michigan. Like, bro, how did that feel to walk in there and do that?
Yeah. Dude, that was honestly like it was such a like validation for me.
I was just gonna say, was that a validation as coming from the Big Ten? And then you go in and beat a Big Ten opponent. You're like, there's the vow. Like, I can do it. That's confirmation right there.
Cause like, I knew I was right there with Nate and I was like, I'm good enough to be a Big Ten quarterback, but I never actually got to go do it. So there's still that in the back of your mind. You're like, I mean, if I would have started, like, would I have been that good? And then we went and beat Purdue and I threw for like 300 and it was just like, yeah, like I am this good. I was good enough to do this. Oh, and it felt so good, man. I could have just stopped playing football right there and been good.
Exactly, dude. I remember when you guys won that game, I think we said something about it in the message, Drake, like Benton Street. I was like, Weegs went and took down the Boilermakers today. And we were all like, fuck yeah, let's go. That was awesome. Like what do you take away from that year with Eastern Michigan? It was kind of cool. You got to go back home a little bit, like, you know, and I've seen plenty of pictures. When I was following you in 18, like you kind of swagged out. You were a little bit swagged out at Eastern Michigan playing. Yeah, and
the hair was down like past the shoulders.
You had some lettuce, man. Like what was that year like?
It was good, man. It was like the teammates were all awesome. Creighton, like that program when I was coming out of high school, that program was a dumpster fire.
Dog shit, dude, because I got offered by them and I was like, I don't want anything to do with that. And I'm a specialist.
You had an offer from Creighton, Kluber?
No. That was their coach.
Chris Creighton is the coach at Eastern Michigan.
Yeah. Oh.
I got an offer from Eastern Michigan and I was like, I'm going to walk on at Iowa.
that was a good choice. But no, it was good. I mean, obviously, like the level of organization is a little bit different because Iowa is such a business and Ferentz has been running it so well for so long.
Yep.
So it was interesting to see that part of it. But it was really awesome to get a chance to play. It was a lot of fun. And like I said, teammates were great. Met some awesome guys.
Yeah. Tell me about this master's in nutrition. Like, give me some nutrition facts. Like, how many grams of glycogen can the muscle store versus the liver?
Dude, I don't know.
It's 400 it's 400 and 100. I just looked it up last night.
Yeah. Not that smart. You probably know more about like actual performance nutrition than me.
Yeah.
Like that program was like kind of like a foundational thing.
Very general stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like mostly online, which was pretty sweet.
Oh,
so I was just like, I would literally get up, watch film for most of the day, do a little bit of homework, go to practice.
Love that.
Yeah. So, it was good in that way, but, yeah, it was more just foundational nutrition stuff. And like, I've always been super into nutrition growing up. So a lot of stuff I kind of knew already.
Well, you were bodied up at Iowa. I mean, you walk in there, you're chiseled.
I mean, I was on that Doyle program.
Yeah, you were, which, you know, in the past year, some have come out and said they don't like being on that program, but, I liked it. I don't know. Worked for me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was hard, but I don't know what else I would have done in college if I wasn't doing that.
Right. Now we have to backtrack a little bit because we brought up Wim Hof. So for those sitting there listening, we'd walk in after practice or after a lift and, you know, you walk down the aisle of the locker room and there's Weeks laying on the ground.
On his back in front of his locker, eyes closed, breathing extremely deeply, yeah, and having a timer or something ready to alarm to go off or something. Yeah. I don't know what was going on, but it looked weird.
And it was, I think you got Kelly to do it with you or somebody.
It was Ryan Boyle.
You got Boyle to do it with you, which I want to have Boyle on too, because this is another, you know, he's kind of got a similar story. Yep. And so y'all are laying on your back, breathing deep. And it kind of became this thing of like, yep, those two fucking guys, they're doing their breathing again. And like the coaches knew about it and they were giving you shit about it. Like, where did this come from? I know about it, but tell us what this is.
So that 2017 season, you know, like Friday nights before games, you're in the hotel and like, I didn't want to do homework. So I'd just be, you know, looking for whatever excuse.
Euchre Friday nights, bro.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Tell them about our Euchre Friday nights.
Yeah, but earlier on in the year, I started seeing some YouTube videos about Wim Hof, and me and Boyle sat there and watched a documentary about him on like a Friday night. And so we were like, all right, let's do this. So then every day after practice, like Monday through, I think we did it on Fridays too, but we would lay down in front of our lockers because our lockers are right by each other.
Yep.
And we would do our 30 breaths and then hold your breath as long as you could. And then another 30 breaths and hold your breath. And we go through like four rounds of that and then straight into the ice tub up to our necks and see how long we could go. And we did that for like a month straight. And we got up to where we were going like 30 minutes in the tub at a time.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah. But it worked, man. It was pretty sick.
You're telling me you got up to the point where you're doing a half hour in the ice tub?
Yeah, like our last, like we started off going at like 10 minutes and we were like dying, shaking so bad. Like I remember my ribs were the coldest part. My ribs would get so cold. Then by the fourth, fifth week, I would just sit there and chill and it felt like nothing. And we'd just be sitting there for 30 minutes just hanging out.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I think the most I ever sat in that bitch was about 6 minutes.
Yeah.
If
you're not used to it, like, that thing was cold as hell.
It'll get you.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll shut you down to the point where you get out of it and you're like, I can't walk. You're like, your legs don't work. That's funny, man. That's funny. Yeah.
Assholes listening, don't try and go do a half hour in the ice tub. You'll have hypothermia. They'll rush you to the hospital immediately.
None of you are tough enough. Most of you aren't tough enough to go do it anyway. You wouldn't make it to 30 minutes.
Dude, some of the guys on our team though, like I remember like Sean Welsh, he loved it.
Sean isn't human. I mean, he's got gorilla grip strength and
a power belly.
The most powerful belly of all time.
It's just, I mean, he's a dad.
Yep.
We had him on. He was a great episode, by the way.
Hell yeah, I'm going to go listen to that.
Yeah, if you ever have time, go listen to Sean Welsh.
I miss him, man. He used to live down here, and then he got a job in Cleveland, and him and his girl moved to Cleveland.
Back.
Yeah, they're in Cleveland.
Oh, so they're living with the dog pound now, huh? Hey, the dog pound looking decent this
real
year.
Real decent.
Browns are going to be contenders. I tell you what, man, these guys, the Browns.
They were saying Baker Mayfield was a washout. He was a bust. He wasn't a good first-round pick. He wasn't a good teammate. He couldn't run an offense. He wasn't the leader of an organization. God damn it, the Brownies are relevant again.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm going to have to edit that one down. Tyler and I... We both used to I don't know how to explain it. Everybody's got their own connection with each guy on the team, right? Somebody walks in, you got a nickname for them, you know, whatever. Tyler and I, 2016, probably the entire 2017 season, every time we saw each other for the first time each day, we this was so stupid.
Tell you what, man.
We greeted each other like John Gruden. We would morph our face with the eyebrow and we'd kind of rasp the voice, and I would just see Tyler and it would just be like, hey man, I'll tell you what.
Dude, we used to do it before lifts. We'd be like, tell you what, man. Probably 20 yards, man.
We got them fucking squats today, man. I'll tell you what. You got a guy like Tyler Wiegers, man. He's going to come in and lead a program for you. This guy can throw the ball, man. I tell you what. Yeah, so I worked on my John Gruden voice for a long time. And I think it's the only way Tyler and I communicated for like 4 months. So
really?
Just hilarious.
That was a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time.
I miss college days so horridly, dude. We went from seeing our best friends every single day and living with our best friends and just having the time of our lives to everybody moves to the opposite side of the country and you only see them through your cell phone screen. It's dog shit. Growing up is horrible, and let's go back to college.
Yeah,
dude, I think about that all the time. Like, my body right now feels incredible. Like, But when we were back in those days, like, I felt run down. My legs were constantly heavy. I had little aches and pains all the time. But like, just having that like locker room and your roommates every day,
I would do
it every single day for the rest of my life again.
I think there's like there's mental health, there's physical health, there's spiritual health. I think there might be like a competitive health and, or like a growth health that was like, they tell you when you're in, you're never going to get this ever again. You're going to want to buy it. You're going to want to try and pay for it. You're going to sign up for marathons. Jiu-jitsu. Some of you.
I pay for it with jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. And so you guys do it with jiu-jitsu. I don't do it with anybody. It's what I lack severely in my life. And I'm fully aware of it. I don't have, other than like through text message with, you know, the group chat, Drake, I have one buddy who will go on runs with me and likes to kind of work out. Otherwise, I don't have a fucking, you know, a tribe of people who are like pushing me like I used to have. And it's not great, man. I tell you what, it's a large hole.
You'll find it, dude.
I mean, I could join a CrossFit gym.
Or get into jiu-jitsu, pussy. Yeah,
okay.
Got two guys in here that are telling you that you ain't that tough because you won't go roll.
Jesus.
Let Drake triangle choke you, bro. Come on.
Yeah, bro. Let me build a pyramid on your neck.
Please don't. I will say this. I saw the picture of you today on your Insta, Drake. What is the difference between the white geese and the blue geese?
Nothing. You're just only allowed to wear white or blue. And so our coach, similar to what Weegs was saying, my head coach name is Coach Jair, and he is straight from Brazil. And he was a Jose Aldo's jiu-jitsu coach when Jose Aldo was with WEC. He's got a really long lineage. He's been a black belt since before any of us were born. I train with him every day, and it's just like a deal where you have to wear a rash guard and you only can wear white or blue. Otherwise you can't train. And then when you take the picture, he likes to have them separated because it's visually pleasing for him. So that's that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Is there a time in my life where I'll try jiu-jitsu?
Yes.
Maybe.
For sure.
Why would you die without trying it? What's the point of that?
Well, I'm going to die without trying a lot of things, probably. It's just, what things do I get around to? I mean, you can't do everything in your 100
right, but there's some that are a lot easier to attain. Like if you can't skydive over Abu Dhabi, but you can show up to a jiu-jitsu class with your homie one time.
Yeah, you're right. I could do it one time. I guess the pull right now is when I was out with you, I had a broken rib and I was on vacation. So
yeah, you were on vacation. I feel you.
And Nat, like for me to go do it around here with just by myself would just be like, I could try it, but right now if I'm going to do something, I'm going to go all in. Like I'm going to start going every day like you do or something. I'm going to get competitive. Right. So right now that's just not my focus. Like CrossFit's the thing, but yeah, man, I mean, it looks fun. A lot of people end up getting into it. Like, you know, a lot, I follow several like doctors.
You meet some dope ass friends, man, because the people that you meet in a jiu-jitsu gym who are serious about it are the people you want to be friends with. Yeah. Like you just, that's the type of person that I want to spend my time with. I've met some awesome ass people at the gym.
Yeah. I'm sure you have too.
At my gym that he played at, he was like a couple years ahead of us, but he played at Eastern Illinois. He played O-tackle. And so he's bigger than me. So it's great to roll with him, but he's been doing it for 4 years. He's a purple belt. He made me so much better because me and him would just go at each other all the time.
Right.
Hell yeah.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that. It's like that. This quote I do remember. It's if you find yourself as the smartest or best or biggest or strongest person in the room, whatever,
you got to find a new room.
You got to find a new room because that room no longer is making you any better. You've maxed out your potential with that group of people. So that there's the advice from Washed Up Walk-Ons 220. If you're the best at what you do on a consistent basis, find people who are better than you. So we had Matt Nelson on.
Yeah, I listened to that one.
And he said that. So I always knew Matt Nelson as a smart guy. I didn't know you as a smart guy. I said, Matt, he's going to be a doctor too. Yeah. And he
two
said
two doctors
that,
living in the same house in college playing for the same football team is unheard of.
He said intellectually you bury him in the ground.
Dude, yeah, I appreciate him saying that, but he's trying to be modest. He's a liar with that one.
Okay, that's what I thought, but maybe it's true. I don't know.
So, and then there's Anthony Nelson, and from what I hear, Anthony Nelson is just as intellectual as Matt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So we had two guys with the same name, built the same, played the same position, damn near wore the same number, and both had over 150 IQ. And then we had a quarterback room full of fucking geniuses and CJ Beathard.
and dude, CJ's is a genius in his own right too.
Yeah.
CJ's just a different type of genius.
CJ's a genius when it comes to winning football games. That's what he's a genius in.
Dude, he is the most competitive person I've ever met in my life.
Like, yeah.
Literally 100%. Every single day I would just be contrary to him about anything he was saying just to get him riled up because he would go at it as long as it took for him to win that argument.
Yep, he would.
It's hilarious.
He would. It had to be great just being in a room with him for a couple of years. Like, you know, he was clearly the leader of our team during that awesome run we had. And
he was the leader of the state of Iowa, dude.
Right.
He was the golden, but he's the golden goat. That's the golden goat.
He's the golden goat. What was it like being in the room with him? I mean, nobody spent more time with him than you did.
Yeah. Yeah. We roomed together for all the games too. So for 2 years straight, but yeah, no, it was awesome. I love CJ. He's one of my best friends. But he, like I said, he's the most competitive dude you'll ever meet. My favorite quote about CJ was from Drew Ott. And he said, CJ is just looks like that dude we pulled out away from his 24-pack of Mountain Dew in the Appalachian Mountains and made him come sling the pigskin for us out here in Iowa.
It's true, man.
Did he say that in the media?
No, he said that to me, like, at a meal one day.
Okay, I was gonna say that's a legendary media quote.
Oh, yeah,
and I wouldn't have been surprised if Drew said that about him in the media either.
No.
What do you think? What do you think? Quarterback to quarterback, what do you think made CJ so great?
He had crazy arm talent. Like he can throw the ball from like any angle, and then he's just like. He's one of those dudes where he's not like he's athletic. He's not overly athletic. He's got strong arm, but not like the strongest you've ever seen. But he just finds a way to freaking win, man. He's just got whatever it is. He's got it.
He's got it.
Yeah. I mean, it's cliche, but
that's did what, you, what? As a fellow quarterback, ejaculate when he threw that pass to Tavon Smith in the Big Ten Championship?
Oh yeah, dude, that was so. I was always on the headsets for that because I was doing signals.
Yep.
And he threw that pass, and like, you know how loud that stadium was.
Yep.
And I just took off my headsets and I just sat there and just like soaked it in. I was like, this is absolutely insane.
It was the peak.
It was so cool.
Yeah. It was the peak.
Dude, so one of the things I was most jealous of any player on the entire team was the quarterbacks who got the headsets, because you got to hear the coaches' conversations during the game. And I understand those are sacred and you're not allowed to snitch, but how awesome were the coach conversations on the headset?
And also snitch.
They're funny. Like, a lot of it was just, you know, like business. It was, they did a good job of like, you know, it was like Coach Davis's show for the offense. I was only on the offensive one. It was Coach Davis's show. If Coach Ferentz wanted something, he'd chime in. If Coach Davis needed any other input, he'd ask for it. People give his input, but he was running the show, which was how it should be. But yeah, like the coaches' celebrations, hearing them freaking out, it was awesome.
Oh, that was like some of my favorite. I can imagine Brian on there.
Yeah, see, you get characters like Brian and Coach Davis, both two completely different guys, but two pretty funny characters when you get down to it. Yep. You get them both on the headset in a competitive environment where we're succeeding. I would have expected that to just be electric factory.
Yeah, it was at points, but like they did a good job of, because I mean, if you got people talking over each other, then the play gets out late to the quarterback and you're getting up the line late and it's a cluster and a half. So, you know, some of that happened at Eastern Michigan, which was rough on me. So, it was good that they kept it up.
Imagine they cut up, they record the headset conversation for the entire 3 hours every game day, and then they just cut it up into a highlight reel and they just release that as a podcast. It would get so many listens, dude.
Oh
my God.
A best of every week. Can you imagine if somebody like ESPN got, I mean, you can't, right? You just absolutely can't, because it's the team's sacred information.
Right.
But some of the comments put together in clips, people would be getting fired left and right, but I would be rolling around on the ground howling, because it would be the best content on the internet.
It'd be incredible. It'd be absolutely insane. Yeah.
And even if it was boring as hell, I guarantee Iowa fans would listen to every single, they would listen to the whole 3 hours if they could.
Absolutely.
I was even thinking from every team.
Oh,
you just take every team's, record every team's
do a
coaches.
Best of like the weekend for college football.
Yeah.
That'd be insane. Hear Saban on there, like saying shit. That'd be incredible.
Yeah.
So you're smart guy, Weeks, and we're not going to hold you forever, because you probably got homework to do or something like that.
No, dude, I just got done with my big board exams on Monday. So I had 2 Mondays ago, I had an 8-hour exam. And then this past Monday I had another one, but now I'm like free and clear for a while. So I feel so good.
Let's go.
An 8-hour exam.
Yeah. So when you get done with your second year of med school, you have to take, it's called like, your step one of, it's called like your board exams. Like it's all like your national licensing exams. And so at your end of your second year of med school, you got to take one. At the end of your third year of med school, you got to take one. And then when you get to residency, you got to take one. And so, and like the ones I took just now to kind of decide like, you know, what kind of specialty you can apply to. So it was like the big one.
Did you get your score already?
No, I get it back in a couple of weeks. But
you think
I mean, I know I passed. It's just a matter of how well I did. So. Okay.
That's a feeling that I never experienced. I know I passed. It's just how good I did. I was always right on the line of, well, I'm probably eligible next semester. We'll see.
Oh, geez. But yeah, no, it's a good feeling to get that out of the way.
I bet. You got any favorite? I mean, you already mentioned Rogan earlier in the show, but you got any favorite podcasts or books or knowledge that you'd like to share with the listeners or us? Are you a big reader?
Not so much lately, because all I do is I've been studying, but I need to
shit. Yeah.
Yeah. I need to get back into it. I read a decent amount of books in college. So I read some good ones. Like we had to read that one year, we had to read yeah. all those books and present. So I read Extreme Ownership, and then I read what was the one DeMarco loved? It was
Traveler's Gift.
Yeah, I read that.
That was a cool book. Interesting.
Another good one I read was The Road to Character. I picked that up in an airport bookstore. That was a pretty good one. But yeah, no, like podcasts, I listen to Rogan, listen to Jocko. Have you guys listened to the Unraveling, Jocko's Unraveling podcast? No. That's really good. They like go deep dive into different like world conflicts and stuff.
Well, I'm subscribing to it right now.
Yeah, I'm on that one.
Me and my dad are deep into that one. So that. I really like that one. But yeah, I mean, you know, I'm your typical meathead. I listen to UFC podcasts and Joe Rogan and
love it.
I do like Jordan Peterson. I'll listen to him a good amount.
Good. So. I like Peterson. Yep.
Yeah. I'm too dumb to listen to Jordan Peterson too much. Like I love when a guy like Rogan or a guy like Andrew Schultz gets Jordan Peterson to sit down because they talk to him in a way that I can understand. But if you get Jordan Peterson rolling, dude, I'm way too dumb for that guy.
He's yeah. intellectual, man. He uses words I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Did you listen to him on Theo's, Drake?
That was awesome.
Dude, when Theo talks to somebody, he can dumb it down for anyone.
Theo's hilarious, dude.
You listened to This Past Weekend and King and the Sting?
I don't listen to King and Sting, but I listened to This Past Weekend.
Here King and the Sting's good, dude. They have some funny stuff on
there. Funny.
Yeah, I'll check it out for sure.
What are the so you're a health guy, you're a big health guy.
Yeah.
Are you still bodied up? Like, what's the body fat? Like 13-12% right now? Where are we sitting?
Yeah, I'd say my body count's probably a little bit better than when I was at Iowa.
Just because you don't have to hold weight?
Yeah, well, I still weigh the same amount. Like I'm sitting between 225 and 230, but like
beefy.
Now that I don't have to throw anymore, I just like I'll do like flies and like all the shoulder stuff. Like
you're
like
230 pounds.
Yeah, dude, I need to drop a few pounds. But yeah, when I do this tournament, I'm gonna have to do the ultra heavyweight because I don't know if I'll be able to cut to 215 because I'm like I've got a pretty good body comp. I don't think I'll be able to drop to 215.
Bro, check this out. I just cut weight, and it was the first time ever, and I tried to do it on my own without knowing what I was doing.
Like a UFC cut or like an actual like change your body,
like a change your diet cut. But then there was some overtraining UFC cut aspect to it. I tanked my body so bad, I ended up missing the weight by 13 pounds under.
Oh, geez.
My body just bled the weight. It just kept going and going, and my body just tanked. And I got bronchitis, and I got the shits, and I was puking, and it was bad.
Yeah. Well, do you hear what the UFC guys do to cut weight? They'll just start chugging
the water and waterlog themselves and piss out all their salt, piss out everything so that there's nothing to retain anymore, and they're just dead.
So bad for you.
It's not good. This but is yeah, where I was
so yeah. I'm sitting a little heavy right now, but I'm still in pretty good shape. I eat pretty well. My girlfriend, she lives with me out here, and she's training for Ironmans right now. Oh, so she's like an absolute beast, so I gotta keep up with her.
Ooh, I was gonna say, I mean, since you're a health nut, what's the and you know, both of us health and human phys majors, what are the and I'm always interested personally, what are the Tyler Wieger's fitness and health tips to success? What are the daily things that you like to do? What's your routine? Anything special?
I don't do anything like super in particular. I just eat like try to eat stuff that grows and like I'll snack on some crappy stuff every now and then, but like me and my girlfriend, we eat fruit, eggs, meat, like vegetables, potatoes.
Do you track calories or no?
No, I should probably do that, but but like I used to eat more.
TylerKluverFitness.com, by the way.
Yeah, no free shout outs, right?
on my own goddamn podcast, tons of free shout outs.
But anyways, so like I used to eat more chicken and rice, but I felt like that kept my body fat up a little bit. But now that I'll do like sweet potatoes more than rice now, and I feel like that gives me a little bit leaner.
So you're 230 pounds and you eat healthy.
Clean.
Yeah.
Like, bro, take your shirt off.
No.
Strip for us on the podcast. Come on. Those watching the YouTubes, you have the extra edition, extra 10 minutes, and we're going to get Tyler on the
How much do your training partners hate training with you, dude?
Yeah, well, like I said, the one dude was like bigger than me, so that was good. But yeah, like I feel bad for some of the guys like that are like down in like the 160s, and I'm, you know, get, like I'll just try to pull guard all the time with those guys. But like one of the black belts at my school, he's this cop, and he's like really like tries to help me out, and he's like, yeah, just like when you get somebody in side control, just grab on their gi and then just try to do a row and force your chest through their chest. And I'm like, dude, I weigh 70 more pounds than this guy. I don't want to make him quit. Like,
I love it.
Yeah.
Any, anything aside from food, like you do like 100 pushups a day, or you still Wim Hof or what, any of that?
No, I make sure, sorry, that's my phone. I thought we were doing this at 6:00. So I set an alarm so I didn't forget, but, yeah, no, I just make sure I get in a lift every day and then go to jiu-jitsu 4 to 5 days a week. So, and then I like another thing that I try to do is like, I don't want to lose my athleticism. So I make sure I'm still like doing sprints or like jump roping and stuff like that. Box jumps. Like I don't like, you see so many people that like, they're like, oh, I'm getting old, but it's like, you got these athletes that are in like 30s or 40s and they can do that because they're still doing athletic movements. Yep,
they never lost.
If you just stop doing athletic movements, then your body's not going to do them for you anymore.
100%. So you gotta, 100%. Like, you're talking my language. You don't have to tell me. All these people say they're old. Like, your body's meant to do this shit for 50 years plus. But if you stop doing it, it's use it or lose it, my guy. That's what happens. Yep. So you got to stay athletic. I'm actually working on, I'm not going to plug another thing, but I'm working on something that's always an athlete program. Awesome, man. Well, for those listening, y'all probably don't want to get in a tussle with Tyler Wiegers. He's bodied up at 230.
No. 230 pound blue belt in jiu-jitsu. Stay out of this fucking guy's way. He will absolutely buzzsaw you. Christ.
Not only that, but he cut the lettuce. He's looking clean. He's going to be a doctor. I mean, this guy is on his way to success. So, Tyler, thanks so much for joining us today, man.
Thanks, boys. Good seeing you,
man. It's a pretty good fucking podcast, man.
Huh? Congrats,
on all dude. We're gonna have to get on more podcasts after you and I compete a little more, and we'll just talk jujitsu. And anybody who's interested can listen, because,
like Rogan, like the Washed Up Walk-Ons MMA podcast, number one.
True. And it's you, pal. It's you and me.
I'll get on, and I won't say a word. You guys can just talk.
Drake, the question is, when are we gonna jump in the cage?
Anytime, pal. So I've been training a lot, and
doing striking.
Yeah, a little striking. So the gym I train at is actually Ryan Bader's gym. So Ryan Bader and CB Dalloway are basically the heads of the gym along with their coaches. And I'm just an invitee to their environment. But I mean, hey, let's get it on, daddy.
Dude, I am a complete meathead at heart. So I would honestly be down.
Man, well, maybe we sell the Wash Up Walk-Ons pay-per-view.
Let's go.
The main card.
And the thing is, we will wear shin guards so that, like, you know, since you're not used to dodging head kicks, I'm not going to be trying to knock you unconscious with a head kick.
Come on, dude. Let's just go for it. I don't care. I didn't take that many hits in college. I'm good.
This guy is a maniac. All right. Shut the fucking podcast down. This guy's a maniac. Man,
we gotta get this guy out of here. He's going to kill both of us. No, but for real, thanks, Tyler, for coming on. It was great to catch up. Man, it's just fun to catch up with old teammates, and this is definitely that. So
yeah, we're going to do it again, too. This was too much fun.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. I'm jealous that you guys get to catch up with everybody. But congrats on all the success. I appreciate you guys.
Oh, yeah. No, we're just two assholes with Mike.
There's very little. And actually, this is a great opportunity to make sure to mention that Kevin is the biggest asshole of all time. True. He didn't show up to the morning podcast, didn't text us back all day, didn't show up to the afternoon podcast. Fuck Kevin is where I'm at.
Dead to us at this point. Dead to us. And in fact, he's the rat that I want to stick in the Tyler Wiegers snake cage. That's what I want to do with Kevin right now.
Actually, let's Wiegers, you and me versus Kevin, 6-minute rounds, 1 minute off. You know the drill. And we're going to make crybaby Kevin tap like a little bitch.
Oh, man. And I will pay to see that. So episode 220, Tyler Wiegers, the legend. Another episode. We'll be back again on Monday. Thank you guys for listening. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.